Well, good morning, definitely. And it is, the very last Sunday of 2019. I don't know about you, but like for me, the year has just like flown by. And it feels like every year it goes by just a little bit faster. So one of the things that has changed for me this year, actually, is that I have to wear glasses when I'm reading things. And so that's kind of like, I'm like, oh, that's so cute that he put that up there with the glasses, because for sure, yes, it's like, that's another little thing there. One of the things that I kind of wanted to talk about before I forget is Christmas cheer and adopt family. I just want to say that I'm so, so impressed. It's amazing to me when we each do our little part of something, we can really accomplish in a major project. If some of you might know that Christmas cheer this year, it was a record year of families that needed a little bit of help. It was 500 families, which to the committee that's in charge of that, they were just kind of like, oh my gosh, well, can we do it? So they reached out, and this year was the first year where we were able to even talk to churches and get people to kind of just do a focus drive. So at our church here, we did peanut butter and jelly. And I got to load all that up, which it actually was, a lot. At first I was like, oh, it's just like a barrel. But oh my word, like I brought that over and they were just so thrilled and so happy. And on the morning of Christmas cheer, some of you were there and you got to see the overwhelmingness of it. It's quite a lot to sort out all the food and do all of that. But at the end, we left actually at the same time that we do every year, even though they added 150 families to all the deliveries that they were doing. But I was just surprised, and I was thinking about this because I've before talked about unity and how important unity in the body is, not just in this particular body, although this is where we are at, so definitely unity in this particular body, but also unity in all of the churches in Dallas, all of us together working together for one common goal. And Christmas cheer and adopt family, to me, that was just so representative, and it was just so good to see that if every church does their part, if every individual, so if you ran the Glow Run this year, that raised money for Christmas cheer. If you donated some peanut butter and jelly, if you helped with the Glow Run in any kind of way, if you you bought gifts for Adopt a Family, if you donated money to Adopt a Family, like every single one of you doing your small part that God called you to do, that fed 500 families for Christmas and bought presents for them. And I just thought it was just an amazing thing. And it was just so good to see that we put aside all of our little differences, our doctrines and all that stuff, and we focus on just doing and being the hands and feet of Jesus in our own community. So I just love that. The other thing that I wanted to mention is that in the back of the table there are some, they're called spiritual gifts tests. They're pretty lengthy. There's some for adults and there are some for youth. I thought I was speaking on that. Craig well knows how this works, right? This is what I'm speaking on. Like, I know this is what God's going to have me talk about, you know, that on this Sunday. And the Holy Spirit just goes a totally different direction. And Darren had put all the work into printing them out, so I thought, well, I'll just put them back there anyway. So feel free on your way out to grab one of those. They are amazing. You can do them online. If you take one with you and you don't want to tally it up yourself, you can go online and do it. I think it's great. It probably has something to do with the message, what it would be. It's not a direct thing. But I love doing a spiritual gifts inventory because it does kind of show you what areas, like if you're not quite sure where you're supposed to serve, this will kind of enlighten you and give you a little more direction on like what your gifts are and where God would maybe have you serve in the body. Also, if you take the test and you are not quite sure at all like where this would put you, talk to somebody in leadership and we will totally help you. If you want to talk to me, come talk to me and I will help you figure out where that kind of puts you in. Anyway, so that's back there. This way I didn't waste all of the paper and all the trees. Although Kirk is probably happy about that, you know, since he does the trees thing. So the title for today is a 2020 vision, looking through the right eyes, which is a really, really catchy, cool little title. I would like to take total credit for it, but I absolutely can't. Like way back in October, I was kind of like, you know, praying about, well, Lord, what are you going to have me speak on? And he was just saying, he just kept saying like, 2020 is hindsight, you know, 2020 vision. And I was like, oh my gosh, that's so like interesting, because we are going into the year 2020. And so I was kind of like, well, this is interesting. Like 2020 is hindsight, but like, can we not have like that hindsight in the present moment? You know how you can always look back and go, oh wow, you know, had I thought about this or that, then I might have a little more clarity or understanding. And so I kind of prayed about that. Like, how could it be possible to have a little more clarity in the present? So I started to go into scripture. Like, what does it say about vision? What does it say about eyes? And so what started flowing out of that is what the message is for today. So before we get started, though, let's pray. Lord, I just thank you. I thank you for this morning. I thank you that you are present. Your Holy Spirit is present here. We do welcome you. We want you, Lord, to give us clarity. Lord, that your Spirit would begin to move and give us understanding that we cannot in and of ourselves get. We thank you, Lord, for your faithfulness. We thank you for all that you have done this year and all that you will do in the next year to come. But for this morning, Lord, we just pray that you would just be with us. Lord, that you indeed would increase and that I would decrease, Lord, that these are not my words, that these will be your words to your people, because you know what each one of us need. We thank you, Lord, for being here with us this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. So the verse that came to me, that the Lord just put it straight in front of my face, was Matthew 6, 22 through 23. And that's, the eye is the lamp for the body. If your eyes are good, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness? And as many of you know, like when I get scripture, I always like to look at the context. Once I started reading commentaries and things like that, I really realized like I can't open this up and by myself, my own strength, my own understanding, look into it and figure out what it says. So I always go into commentaries by N.T. Wright, or like currently I've been reading a book by Ken Bailey. It's Jesus Through Middle Eastern Eyes, which is an amazing book. And he really does give a full context to at the time when they were saying things, what that actually means. Because a lot of times we can read this and go, oh, okay, it's pretty straightforward. But there's also all these little nuances and little different things that are going on that we, because of our current culture, don't necessarily understand. So in the context, when I was reading it, I like to read the chapter before, and sometimes I like to read the entire book and then really focus in on the particular verses that I'm looking at. So in Matthew chapter 5, Jesus begins the longest recorded sermon, which is the Sermon on the Mount. He talks about the Beatitudes, being salt and light, the law, anger, lust, divorce, vows, retaliation, loving our enemies. And then in chapter 6, giving to the needy, the Lord's Prayer, money, fasting, worry, criticizing others, pursuing God. And then he finishes with teaching about building houses on rock and on sand, which is a lot of topics. I just look at that and I go, oh my gosh, like that is so many issues that are covered in just in those two chapters. And then that little verse, the Matthew 6, 22 through 23, is just found right in the middle when Jesus is actually talking about money, which is a topic that gets everybody's attention. Like if we're talking in church and all of a sudden I start talking about money, it's like, what? I mean, at least that's what it does to me. Money is a huge thing and everyone will like immediately kind of pay attention to it. So I thought it was kind of like, that's kind of interesting, because even to this day, it's like that's a, you know, you're kind of messing with people's priorities, because, you know, where we put our money, that's kind of what shows what our priorities are. So as I looked at that, I thought, that's interesting, like, you know, but Jesus is actually kind of crafty. I think a lot of times we look at him and we kind of think it's like, you know, but he's super smart. I mean, he is God. But where he's putting that in, because he is talking about money, but he's also talking about other things. So one of the things that Ken Bailey writes about Jesus in his book, Jesus Through Middle Eastern Eyes, is he says, the popular perception of Jesus is that of a village rustic creating folk tales for fishermen and farmers. But when examined with care, his parables are serious theology, and Jesus emerges as an astute theologian. Jesus is primarily a metaphorical theologian. And Bailey goes on to say, the metaphor does more than explain meaning, it creates meaning. So if we look at a metaphor, not in terms of like, that it's just going to explain what something means, it actually creates meaning. And so you kind of have to sit in that, which is what the Matthew 6, 22 through 23 really is. It's a metaphor. So while he has our attention, talking about money, this little gem is just kind of slipped in. So it applies to money, but again, it's not just about money. It applies to the way that we look at everything. So if we look at the verse and we look at, like, eyes. If we think about eyes, what does eyes really mean? So obviously it's an organ. It's a physical organ of sight. We use it for one of our chief channels of information. But it also represents our understanding or moral perception. There are 617 different times in the Bible for the word eye or eyes. And they appear, eye or eyes, in 17 of 66 books in the Bible. And all but three of the Old Testament books. And in all of four of the Gospels. In all four of the Gospels. Jews consider the eye to be the window of one's soul. It follows that what one allows into his or her mind, thought, life produces desires. So like whatever you're thinking about, I mean, if you're focusing on the wrong things, it follows that wrong things will probably happen. Whereas also if we're focusing on the right things will more naturally happen. So if we're looking at that, our eyes in more than just like the physical organ that we can see things through, that kind of illuminates a little bit of what he's talking about. The second word is light. If we look at light, it's mentioned 272 times. A lot of times when we talk about light, we talk about Jesus. You know, when we talk about the light of the world, that's Jesus. It's his presence, it's his peace, his love, his grace, his joy, his comfort, his purpose, his mission. Everything that is Jesus when we talk about light. Light is light. Light is favorable. Good things are done in the light, right? Not good things are sometimes done in the dark. Things are brought to light. Jesus is the light of the world. Let your light shine. Don't hide your light. His mercies are new every morning. Light is a very good thing, especially when that light is Jesus, as in this verse. So if we look at this verse and we read it when using the words understanding in Jesus, it kind of starts to make a little more sense. So we would look at Matthew 6:22, and I'll read it with the words. Understanding is the lamp for the body. If your understanding is good, your whole body will be full of Jesus. But if your understanding is bad, then your whole body will be full of not Jesus. If then the place where Jesus is within you is darkness, how great is that darkness? So if we think about like how often do we misinterpret people or situations, or the reverse, we're misinterpreted, we're misunderstood. We have to really focus on being able to look at things through God's understanding, because too often I think we rely on our own understanding. When we look at a situation, we can walk into a room and think that we have totally figured it out. Oh, this is what's going on. But most often than not, our understanding is flawed. And a lot of it has to do with the way that we're looking at things, because we're using our own eyes to really interpret things. So I was praying about that, and I was just thinking, it's like, so what do we have to do? We have to get the right understanding. So we have to have the right understanding in order to be filled full of him and to fulfill God's mission for us. Otherwise, if we're just figuring out, I'm just going to do this, we're not going to fulfill all that God has for us to do. And I think he has a lot of work for us to do. So three ways to right understanding. And these are not in any particular kind of order at all. So the first one is the word. Are we in the Word? Like, do we read it? Do we follow it? And if we aren't, I'm going to tell you guys, we're missing out. There's so much in this. What we focus on, it really does matter. So reading the Word, getting into it. Philippians 4:8 says, finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. I mean, that's straight out of this, just out of this book. I just find it amazing because, like, you can read it year after year after year, and every year, scripture, new things pop up all of the time. Gary and I do a daily audio Bible. Like, that's how we are in the Word every single day. It's super easy. If it was left up to me to have to, like, every day go in and actually, like, find an Old Testament, find a New Testament, a Psalm and a Proverb. Melinda knows about this. She tried it this last year. And if I had to do it on my own, I'm sure I would not be successful. But that's the beauty of apps and things like that. Like, I love that God has given us also technology. It can be used for bad things, but it also can be used for amazing things, like downloading a Bible app that reads to you every single morning, and you spend your first 30 minutes. You can do it on your commute. If you have a 30-minute commute, boom, push the button. By the time that you get to work, you are filled full of God's Word, really just getting you set for your day in the right way. So in His Word, we see God's faithfulness as we're reading through it. We get to see His promises and His plan fulfilled. Otherwise, a lot of stuff that happens in life feels very willy-nilly. It just feels like chaos. I mean, all around us, I mean, you can look at this last year and just see damage and devastation. When we go into the Word, we can see also damage and devastation. But you can see, and you're reminded of just how faithful God is to us, and that He's got a plan, and that very slowly it's unfolding, and that we have something to do. Each one of us has a job to do, and there's encouragement. And to me, it's a life-giving, and it is alive. The Word of God is alive and active, and it's sharper than any two-edged sword. So if you're not in the Word every day, I totally encourage you to do it. This is not a guilt. If you know me at all, you know, like, I don't do that. I don't do guilting. To me, that's not godly. It's not biblical. It's not scriptural. But that's something that I have found that has really, really helped set my understanding when I read the Word every single day, when I get into it. If you don't have enough time to, like, really, like, get into all of this different part, start with Proverbs. Like, that's the book of wisdom. Read a proverb a day. It's amazing. There's also an app for that, just so you know. but I just think it's like, if you just commit yourself to being in the Word more often and making it a priority, because we make time. Like, we all have time, like, to sometimes, like, binge watch a show on Netflix, you know. It's like, obviously, it's like, it would be if I say I don't have time for the Word, but I'm binge watching, you know, something on Netflix. You know, it's priorities. At least that's what I have found for myself. I'll make time. Like, if I say, I don't have time for that, well, let me just remember. It's like, I make time for things that I find to be a priority. One of the things that I read in Proverbs 3, 5 through 6 was the verse that says, trust in the Lord with all of your heart and lean not on your own understanding, but in all of your ways submit to Him, and He will make your path straight. But then He continues on. Like, we stop there and it's like, woohoo, that sounds good. But then it says, like, 7 through 8, do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and shun evil. This will bring health to your body and nourishment to your bones. So it just reminds me, it's like, yes, we've got trust in the Lord, and we have to remember, like, I'm not wise. God is wise, and all wisdom can be found in Him and in His Word. So commit to yourself to being in the Word more often. Number two is the Spirit. The Holy Spirit will oftentimes reveal things that you really can't know on your own. And He guides and He re-guides your thinking to the mind and the mission of God. But we have to pay attention. There's oftentimes I feel like there's a little check in my spirit. And it's easy to kind of go like, and just kind of push away from that. Like, I don't really want to think about that. But I would encourage you to push into it. Listen for the voice of the Holy Spirit. Even in just saying, like, when you feel a check or you feel like the Lord is saying something to you, just say, what about that? Like, what about that, Lord? Are you saying something to me? One of the things that I was thinking back to, and I realized this year, it's kind of an interesting thing. But I was talking to Stacy a little bit about this, and it had to do with generations. Like, I am finding that I was looking at our current generation. So here's Micah and Zach and some of the other youth, like Julia and even Sierra, several, and some of the older ones too. And I was looking at them, and I pretty much have to apologize because I was kind of looking at like, oh my gosh, this is not the right way of doing things. And as I was thinking about that, just like, gosh, the current generation, like they're not doing this, they're not doing this, because this is the way it's supposed to be. The Holy Spirit did a big check. And he said, that's what your parents said too about you. And actually, that's what their parents said about them. Every generation thinks that they're the generation that are doing it right. And we have to understand, at least for me, he told me, you have to understand that this current generation is going to reach a people that you can't reach because of my own way of doing things. But it's also because God is equipping them. Like, I'm amazed. I just want to tell you guys, like, I am amazed with all of our young people. I have watched them grow. I'm watching them all, like, just step up and grow into leadership. Like, I'm looking in this room, and I'm trying to see if there's any young people that I see yet, you know, that have not started to perform some kind of leadership and that have started to kind of push into it. And even, like, with in the classroom, I want to organize the Christmas party. Amazing. This is a third grader. But this generation, like, and the way that they are looking at things, the way that they're treating people, the way that they are looking at people with the kindness, like that even though I have kindness for certain things, like in my generation, that the way I look at things, but with their friends that are going through a lot of different things that we are not used to. Like, when I was growing up, it's like I did not hear a lot of, you know. And the generation above me, we definitely didn't talk about a whole lot of different things, about sexual orientation or where people were, you know, feeling that they were attracted to, any of that stuff. We just never really talked about it. It all just kind of stayed very quiet. So this current generation, that's not the case. So, of course, God is going to bring a people up that is very different and is equipped with, I find, even more kindness, more tenderness, more love inside of them and more grace. And I am loving that. But it took the Holy Spirit to give me the check of like, oh, you are looking at this generation all wrong, Sheila. Like, it is not about them doing it the way that you have been doing it. And so it's not my job to come in and make them be mini-me's. Zach and Micah and Julia, you know, everyone, Adeline, Sierra, none of you can be mini-Sheilas. You're not supposed to be a mini-Sheila. God is calling you to be you, and he's raising you all up as leaders in the places where he's going to put you. And he's equipping you all to be exactly who you are and to be filled more and more of his Spirit. So that was one of the things that I learned. Also, I cannot take credit for it because, again, it's the Holy Spirit. My only job, just like your only job with the Holy Spirit, is to tune your ears to be able to hear him. Sometimes that means we've got to turn down our noise. Our world is so, so noisy. If you were in here when Darren did the whole, like, making us all be quiet and just stay quiet, like, for 3 minutes, and you started to hear, like, all these little noises that are going on, now that's on the outside of our doors. Like, we have all this noise inside of our own heads, you know, and things that are calling the needs and the urgence and this and that, all of this stuff. But if we will just get ourselves a little bit more just tuned in to hearing the voice, sometimes it's, you know, like when someone is unkind to us at the grocery store or someone messes up our order at Taco Bell or whatever. Not that I go to Taco Bell, Gary Myers. But it's like, you know, it's like when someone's unkind to us, it's our natural tendency a lot of times just to want to bite back or like, you didn't do this right. If you feel like that check, like, You know, and sometimes we don't even really need the check, right? Because we know that God is not telling us to repay evil with evil. We're supposed to repay evil with good. So we need to be kind. We have no idea what people are going through. God knows. I don't know everyone's situation in this room even. But God knows. You know, if you're stopped at a stoplight, this is what I kind of do. Like, I'm stopped at a stoplight behind somebody, and, you know, the light turns from red to green, and they're not moving. And we can automatically go like, oh, are they on their cell phone? Are they doing this? Are they doing that? Like, and you get impatient, like, come on, I got places to go. I put myself a little bit further back, so what I do is I just roll up a little bit, because that movement in the back is enough of a, like, oh, yeah, that's right, the light turned green, and then they go. I don't like to honk my horn, I have to tell you. I don't know, like, what people are going through. God knows. Maybe they just, you know, got a cancer diagnosis. Maybe someone in their family died. You know, I have no idea. But God knows the situation. And so it's us approaching other people, remembering that we are bringing God into that place. The Holy Spirit is with us. The Holy Spirit knows. And so just allowing for him to kind of help us to be able to really treat people and handle people and perceive and understand what's going on through him, not through our own eyes, but allowing for him to be able to just speak to us. But we have to be able to listen. In order to be able to listen, we've got to kind of turn down some of that other noise. Another little Holy Spirit check that I got was, and I'm almost embarrassed to talk about it, but I was driving to the airport, and I was going through Salem, and Kevin and I kind of talked about this a little bit, because I confessed it to Kevin. I confessed it to my husband, too. But I'm driving through Salem, and I looked over, and it was like, and all of the homeless people, you know, they're all centered around the particular building over there, and it's right there in your face, with a lot of the tents and stuff like that, because they got moved out of, I think it was Wallace Marine Park. And I remember, like, just thinking, like, oh, my gosh, why do they have these homeless people here? And da-da-da-da-da, really need to get rid of them, and da-da-da. And the Holy Spirit, Sheila Myers, like, wow, what an attitude. How dare you look at people like they're, you know, their situation, that's what's bothering you, is that you have to look at it. Like, that's not what we're about. And so God really challenged me. The Holy Spirit just challenged me into looking through people through his eyes. Reorientate your understanding. But it took the Holy Spirit to give me the check of saying, hey, hold on. So I stopped, and I did. I was like, Lord, I'm so sorry. Like, that is the wrong attitude. I can't have that kind of an attitude. And so I started praying. Like, Lord, is there something that you want me to do? Is there something that you want me to do to help people? I prayed for everyone who I passed by, all of the people, because it's not the right attitude to look at people in terms of, like, their inconvenience, because people are not inconvenient to God. That's not how he looks at people. That's not how he looks at you. That's not how he looks at me. I know sometimes I might say, like, I could be so holy if it wasn't for these people in my face. At the same time, I also know, just so you know, yeah, see, some of you laugh because you know I've said that. I also know that some of you would say, like, I could be so holy if it wasn't for Sheila on my face. Like, I know that. Like, I know who I am. Like, I know I'm, you know, it's like, I'm not all that in a slice of bread. Like, I am not that. So I know. It's like, at the same time, it's like, it's the remembering. Like, God created people, and he created all of us, and he has a purpose for all of us. And people who don't know Jesus, it's going to be our job to bring Jesus to people. That doesn't matter where we're at. It can be here at church. We can go out. You know, we're going to be out in the schools, out in the communities. Every place that you go, you bring Jesus. And we're going to need to be able to look at people through God's eyes to be able to really understand what the situation is and what we're called to do, what we're supposed to do. Number three is the Father. So pray and ask for the right eyes. If you don't have the right eyes, like Brandon Heath had that really amazing song, you know, give me your eyes, you know, for just 1 second so I can see the people all around. That's an amazing song. Because truly that's what we need. We need to ask for the right eyes. the Father's eyes to understand correctly in every situation, because we do not. Our eyes, our understanding is flawed. Make time for quiet time. One of the things I like to do is I like to do a personal inventory. So I get quiet. Like when I'm driving in the car, a lot of times I don't turn on the music. Gary the other day told me that one of my speakers was blown. I go, what? He's like, didn't you realize like one of your speakers was blown? I'm like, nope, I have no idea. I'm sure that's probably Brittany who might have done that if she was driving my car. But it wasn't me because I never turn on music. I was like, what? And he's like, how long has it been that way? I said, I have no idea because I never turn on music in my car. I take that time to just have personal, quiet time with the Lord. And I do a personal inventory. I find a lot of times like I like to have God kind of examine my interpretation. I examine with him. Am I interpreting things the right way? I ask God for understanding. And I encourage you, ask God if your understanding is right. Like if you have an argument or a disagreement with somebody, like stop and say, this is what God has kind of taught me to do. So I sit with the Father and I just say, okay, God, am I okay? Like, so if I have an argument or a disagreement with Gary, it's like, I first ask, am I okay? I don't automatically think that he's wrong. Like, he's wrong, he's this, that, no. I used to do that though, huh? Like I used to be like, he's automatically wrong. And then like, so I like to sit with him and just say first, like, am I okay, Lord? Am I okay? Like, if I'm having a disagreement with somebody, am I okay? Because that's our first check. If you're okay, then okay. Then you can begin to pray about the situation. But if you're not okay, then the first person that God has to really, you have to allow God to deal with is you. Where are you at? Have you been spending time with him? Have you been in the Word? You know, what have you been looking at? What have you been, reading? What have you been doing? Because I find like when I'm not okay with God, when he and I are not okay, then I am not going to be okay with any of you. I won't be. I won't be. Because the primary relationship is us with God. When we're good, then we're good with other people. And if there's a problem, then definitely, yeah, we first check ourselves and then we go to the other person. That doesn't mean we go after them and go like, there's something wrong with you, la, 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 la. We first pray. Pray for the person. Pray for the situation. But we need God. We need the Father to really help us check and to make sure that we're understanding things right, because on our own, our understanding is not right. One of the things that I had to do a while ago was Weekday of the Bible. Some of you will know that I did a little bit of time at Weekday of the Bible. Not a lot. In fact, actually just one day. I remember back in 2017, God was just like, you need to get involved with Weekday of the Bible. You need to get involved with Weekday of the Bible. I was like, yeah, okay, sure. I'm like, but as I always have asked for a post-it note, like, God, can you just like pop a little post-it note right in front of my face so that I know that that's actually you, that you're actually the one telling me to do Weekday of the Bible. So I'm running around, driving, doing errands, and I had a bunch of recycling in the back of my car, and I'm like, oh, yeah, I'll just quick, fast take care of the recycling. I drive into the recycling place, and who is there? It's Audrey Cameron's daughter. Audrey Cameron, it was the Weekday of the Bible teacher. So there she is in her boots and all her stuff, and I was like, I think I'm supposed to ask you about Weekday of the Bible, because she used to teach Weekday of the Bible, too. And she's like, that's amazing. My dad's not doing so well, so my mom needs someone to help teach, you know, a class and come in and help and do all of this other stuff. So, of course, then it's like, okay. Like, I mean, that's pretty much like a post-it note right there. I go, all right. So I did. I filled out the paperwork. There was actually a lot to that. There were some challenges in it, but I pushed through and I got it done. And I was in there with Mrs. Cameron and helping with the kids and all that stuff. And then there was just one class. She was only going to be gone like one time. And I was like, okay, that's perfect. Like, I will teach that class. It was on the armor of God. So I got to teach with the kids. I got to love on them and do the lesson. And it was March 1st, 2017. I did that class. And then, you know, she was good. I just helped out a little bit here and there. The new schedule came out and, oh, you can do this and you can do this. But they were all times that I couldn't do. So that was it. March 1st, 2017 was the only weekday of the Bible class that I taught. And I struggled. I just struggled with it because I was like, Lord, like, what's the purpose of that? Did I hear you wrong? So in my quiet time, I was just, you know, just really just talking to him and just saying, I don't know, Lord, like, I thought that I heard it pretty clearly, but for whatever reason, like, I just taught the one class. And he asked me, he's like, so all of that work and preparation, would you do it for 30 students? Because there were 30 students in that class. And I'm like, well, yeah, of course. And like, of course I would do it for 30 students. He's like, okay, well, would you do it for 15? Well, of course I would do it for 15. What about for 5? Well, of course I will do it for 5. And then he said, what about just 1? What if I only just had you do all of that for just 1 kiddo, for 1 student in that class? And then that kind of put it all into perspective for me, because it was like, yeah, of course. I will do everything for just 1, because God knows what they need. I don't know that. I have no idea if that's what the purpose was, if there was 1. I will tell you, I have a picture on my phone of 1 student who actually took a picture, and it said, you're so cool, love, and then she put her name, and it was in front of the little armor of God there. If that was the student, I don't know. God knows. But I saved it on my phone. I took a picture of it for whatever reason. And I look back because that's how I know what the date was. Because that, and maybe I took the picture so that I could remember it for today. I don't know. Like, but God knows. God knows what people need. We can't understand it through our own eyes. And we need his understanding to be able to fully process an event. Otherwise, I might look at weekday of the Bible and go, oh, that was a waste of time. I don't even know. Like, I probably didn't even hear him right or whatever. I can't look at it that way. I have to look at things through God's understanding. I have to see it through his eyes, because only he knows what people need. Truly, when I look at, like, all of it, I look at us and I think, and I've heard this before, so I'm copying it from somebody else. This is not my own. No, I have no original thoughts. I think all thoughts are God's thoughts. But we have to look at ourselves as shalom delivery systems. I heard someone talk about that, and I remember thinking, like, wow. Like, that's really true. So God, right, fills us with his light. This is shalom, Jesus inside of us. Like, it's peace, right? It's the joy. It's knowing who we are. It's his faithfulness. We take that and we go out to wherever we go. We go to work. We go to school. We go to all the different parts of the community. We go to Safeway. We go to Taco Bell sometimes. We go to Dutch Bros. Wherever we go, we take the light with us. We take shalom. And that's what we're supposed to give to other people. If we misinterpret, right, if we think about, like, I'm just going to Taco Bell, I'm just going to the grocery store, and we forget that we are taking Jesus wherever we go, we're going to miss so many opportunities. We don't want to miss opportunities. I don't want to miss any opportunities. I want to make sure that every opportunity that God gives me to bring that shalom, to bring him to people, I want to hit every single one of them. I want, at the end of my life, when I'm standing before God and we do the final full inventory, because I do believe that's my understanding of it. I believe that we're going to give a full accounting. I believe that God's going to say, all right, Sheila, let's sit here and let's take a look. So these are the gifts that I gave you. I gave you talents. I gave you time. I gave you money. And I gave you people. I brought people to you. What did you do with them? Did you do all that you could do to bring me to people, to raise up? And one of the things I feel like is one of my things is like it is. It's to raise up the next generation of leaders. I love that. Disciple. If I wasn't doing children's ministry, I think I would just be like discipleship. Like that would be my, that's partially why I'm like, I hope I see a lot less papers in that stack back there so that we're all doing our spiritual inventory. Because I just love being able to see people in the place where God is calling them to be, utilizing all of their gifts, your time, your talents, your money, all of your stuff. If you can utilize it to the maximum capacity so we give God a huge return on his investment, because that's what he's doing. He's investing in all of us. I also think he's gonna ask us about that at the end. Did we do it? Like, what did we do? I don't think he's going to say that with condemnation. I think the condemnation will come inside of ourselves. Like, You know, and I want to be able to live my life with as little regret as possible, knowing that, like, all that he's given to me, I have spent, I have poured it out. So right understanding brings the fullness of Jesus into our whole being so that we can bring him to everyone around us. So we need to read the word. We need to listen to the Spirit, and we need to pray to the Father to give us a full understanding. Because without right understanding, we miss. Well, we're going to miss it. We miss the fulfilling of our calling, of our purpose, which is God's mission for each one of us. When we see through the right eyes, we can confidently walk into a new year knowing that God gives us his understanding so that the light of the world inside of us shines through to all that we meet. So let's pray. Lord, I just thank you. I thank you for this morning. I thank you for your word that illuminates. I thank you for your Holy Spirit that is constantly speaking to all of us. I thank you, Lord. I thank you, Father, that you are always faithful and you're always available to us. I pray, Lord, that you would just give us a vision for next year. I thank you, Lord, that we can. With you, we can have a good amount of understanding. Your understanding, to be able to look at people the way that you look at them. Help us to see the places in our lives where we can bring more of you, where we can bring your peace. We can bring Jesus. Help us, Lord, to be able to be the hands and feet of Jesus to everyone we meet. And we thank you, Father, for all that you do for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.